This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today we're having a special podcast from the Cloud Communications Alliance, NTR Publications. And I have with me Kevin Nethercott, who's the Chief Commercial Officer, and Veena Vadgama, who's Vice President of Marketing at Telestax. Kevin and Veena, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug.
We're going to be talking about number masking, and I think this is going to be an interesting topic. We really haven't had a podcast recently on this topic, so I think this will be of great interest to our listeners and readers. But Veena, what is Telestax?
Sure. Telestax is a CPaaS enablement company. So we are in the business of providing CPaaS, but our customer base are the largest telecommunication companies in the world. And we help them be extremely competitive and dangerous in providing CPaaS to enterprises. We're one of the very few companies that does this, and our platform is one of the oldest and the most relied upon in terms of CPaaS across the world. So it's been an exciting time and place for us as a company.
I like that term, dangerous, loaded of air.
Yes.
That's what you guys do. That's where you place your partner companies. So, Veena, how has COVID-19 brought into demand many CPaaS applications you mentioned?
It's very interesting, right? Because every part of the world has been hit with this pandemic, and no exception, of course, is CPaaS and applications. And as Doug and you and I have talked about before, this has become the forcing function for a lot of companies to move to cloud to make sure they can fully handle remote teams. And whether they were already there in the cloud or they were trying to get there, this certainly forced everyone to move a little quicker, right? And one of the things that we have seen on our side is the companies that were well-equipped are certainly doing better and they were able to move faster, but companies are very quick to catch up. One of the stats that we've seen recently, according to Gartner, is that in this time frame, cloud-based telephony and messaging, they're growing by 8.9%, and cloud-based conferencing is going 24.3%. I mean, Zoom has become a household word, right? It's a verb and a noun for all the right reasons. One of the things that we've seen, though, in the world of CPaaS is companies in general are talking more about delivery, and for that, they're using texting. You know, companies are doing more curbside. Consumers are looking to get food delivered, grocery delivered, pet food delivered, you know, your hardware delivered. And all those companies can benefit from being able to text customers, updates, shipments on the way. What did you think of your service? We've seen a lot of call centers use texting, for example, to be able to do customer service surveys. They get way better responses when the customer gets a text message right after the call has been completed versus a follow-up email. As you know, texting has got like an 84% response rate, which just can't be compared when you think of texting and email. So we've seen a lot of good use for CPaaS applications, particularly in the COVID-19 timeframe. You know, another thing that companies are doing is SMS blasting, where they're able to update consumers on how is their business adapting? You know, what are their safety procedures? Are they now open for business? Great. You know, how did they change their business model to accommodate and bring in their customers in a safe, healthy way? And a lot of that communication is done through texting because, again, as I said, it's become the way of talking to folks, whether it's you know, friends to friends or a business to a consumer. So it's been a big change, and this time frame has certainly accelerated the adoption of it.
So are there some examples, some general use cases of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things, first of all, that's been so interesting, I think Doug and you and I have talked in the past how much I travel and am out around the world meeting with different partners and enterprises and service providers around the world. And at this point in time, everyone I'm talking to now through Zoom is in the exact same, having the exact same experience, right? So I'm having conversations with the EVP of multi-billion-dollar organizations, and they're at their dining table. And so everywhere around the world is experiencing the same thing. This isn't just a U.S. based issue. And so as we look at our different global partners, we're seeing different opportunities and use cases as well. You know, in Japan, they've had a different communications culture inside their companies where they always have a live receptionist answer the call and then transfer the call to an employee. So in Japan, now that everyone's at home, having their own individual auto attendant or IVR or number masking allows calls to come into their cell phones. So this is something that they had to deploy, you know, literally overnight. And so you have that type of use case in Japan. You know, another area that's really interesting is taking some of the alerts that Bean was talking about with SMS. These are now being integrated into actual corporate solutions with, you know, tracking employees. We're being integrated into a platform that actually can send a text message if two employees get too close to each other. And so it helps with social distancing. They can send a text message of which part of the office that they should be working in from that day to make sure that everyone is evenly distributed throughout the corporate floor. So it's really interesting the different use cases now that are available through CPaaS. You know, with our APIs, it makes it really, really easy to integrate into these new environments, and it's something that you can really do in a couple of days. So it's really powerful from a technology perspective and how it fits into, you know, the quote-unquote new normal and how quickly that can be rolled out. And within that, you know, an area that we're seeing a lot of interest and need is around privacy. And so, you know, number masking becomes a really important feature and capability in this new environment.
So let's define the term number masking. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I think at the highest level, it's exactly what the description is, right? So I'm masking my number so that I have privacy with my own phone number, and I provide a different caller ID essentially to the other side. And so, you know, if we think about the most common use case, you know, in the gig economy today, more and more of us are dealing with individuals, right? So it's an individual Uber driver, it's an individual Airbnb owner, and so though we're individuals, we're also strangers, right? So there is no common relationship of trust here, other than that we share a need of somebody wanting to give me a ride and I need a ride. And so it's become important that we secure that interaction. And so if we look at ride sharing as probably the most common that all of us, you know, listening here today have experienced, is if I, you know, get my ride with the ride sharing company and I need to call the driver and say, I'm on the other corner. I don't necessarily want that driver to know my personal cell phone number. And so our platform and number masking application masks my number, sends a different number to the driver, and does the same thing for the driver. And so this is really important in kind of keeping, you know, that privacy and security that we're looking for on an individual basis. And so, you know, that's a good example of one. You know, it can be used on the other side of this, right? Where, and more on a playful side, there's a number of very large successful companies that have essentially created burner phones through number masking, right? So for dating applications. So you can go out, meet someone, give them a phone number. It's not your actual cell number. It's a masked number that you own and can use. And then, you know, if you decide you want to follow up, keep the number open. If it doesn't go well that night, you just throw that number away and get another phone number. So, you know, that's a playful way in which, you know, number masking has been, you know, pretty popular out there. But, you know, where we see it going is now in the enterprise. And so there's an opportunity now where if you think about a delivery, so let's talk about logistics. I mean, we can track our package from a website, and then oftentimes, though, along the way, there can be an interaction between a driver and, again, the consumer, the individual at home. And we don't want to share those numbers. So there's a large use case for logistics. When we look at the new enterprise and we're working from home and we don't have an IP phone or a web client or something, I'm left with my personal device. And there may be times or industries where maybe I'm not comfortable or don't want to share, you know, my personal phone number. So being able to create a masked phone number for me as an employee helps in my privacy and keeps me safe. There isn't anybody that can be tracking that down. If there's an issue, I can switch out that number and use a different number. Or if I quit or leave, that number can be forwarded to another phone. So it builds in real flexibility on how we can communicate with remote workers. So those are a handful of interesting use cases in how number masking is actually being deployed.
So why is this more critical today than ever?
So I think there's a couple of angles to this. So if we take the consumer level, you know, it's really what we've been discussing around privacy and security. And that's a key element as we've been discussing. But I'd also like to touch on this as a business opportunity, right? So if I am a service provider today, I'm already selling phone numbers, right? So this gives me an opportunity to sell more phone numbers. You're also able to, with this as a business model, you charge for a session. So again, if we go back to that Uber ride, as soon as I hit, my ride, and it sets up a session. So now that's a new incremental product or SKU that I can charge for. So now you have a session charge. And then because you're bridging the numbers, you also are able to charge for the usage. So in this instance, then, number masking becomes a really interesting high-margin product to sell. And so if we go back to, you know, what Vina described here at the beginning of the call about our CPaaS enablement, one of the key differentiators for Telestax is that we work through a partnership model. So we partner with service providers and empower them with these types of applications. So number masking, two-factor authentication, call queuing, auto attendant. So there's a number of products that we can offer, and all of these are provided by a white label capability. So everything we do is under our partner's brand. So we've essentially engineered ourselves completely out of the user experience, and everything is as the service provider's brand. And so literally within a day or two, we can get your SIP trunks connected to our platform, your SMS connected to our platform, and then we white label all of that for you and provide these turnkey applications. So, you know, literally within days, you could have your own number masking application with your own brand that you can then resell into your own customer base. So we think it's really critical for service providers in this environment of the new normal to be very proactive in getting these types of applications on their network as soon as possible, because their customers are buying these services, no question about it. And so they can either buy it from you, or they can go over the top and buy it from some retail CPaaS player directly. And so we think it's really critical for service providers to really look at this new environment and say, how can I get applications quickly on my network that I know customers are already searching for? So I think that's the other angle to this, and, you know, helping your listeners figure out how they can go make money on this and make sure that they have a defensible portfolio of applications that they can take to their customers that are already looking for these things.
So, you know, one of the things that is coming up and a lot of people are talking about is that as 5G rolls out, as it becomes more and more the standard, there's a potential here for the products that people use every day, their own devices, to become more and more the way in which, or in a sense, more and more the, at least the endpoints upon which the communications of the company and corporations, organizations, and so on occur. So I'm wondering whether number masking and also some of the services you're talking about associated with it might be a way for the channel partners to have a really interesting lineup of products as that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 5G is going to change the world in a number of ways. Some positively, and some, you know, from a business perspective, you know, could have some pretty strong negative impacts on, you know, different CSPs, different channel partners, and so forth. You know, I'm convinced that, you know, the mobile operators will be able to provide, you know, a number of new incremental services directly to the enterprise that are currently being provided by system integrators or, you know, CSPs that bring, you know, a number of different elements and integrate that together at the enterprise. And so I think it's critical timing for non-mobile operators that are providing the 5G networks themselves to really find those sticky applications and use cases that they're bringing the value that the enterprise will receive from them. So, you know, it's a bit of a race in some instances to see how can I get more deeply integrated into my enterprise. So if you think about it today, most of that integration, you know, stops at the network level and a telephone. So now what providers need to be able to do is extend that through CPaaS, through APIs inside the organization. So, you know, how do I integrate two-factor authentication into my security lineup? How do I integrate into Salesforce.com and Zendesk and these other SaaS platforms that I'm now providing as part of my digital transformation and being able to handle voice and messaging and so forth for, you know, customer engagement, which is such a critical part of enterprises today. And so that's the challenge that's ahead of almost all telecom providers today, is getting inside the enterprise at a deeper, secure level before 5G comes in through the window and through the door and provides those services more directly. And so CPaaS is absolutely a way to do that and create that stickiness and that long-term value for, you know, that installed base that you have today. I think it's absolutely critical.
So, you know, I'm wondering with this discussion of number masking and also 5G and the types of changes, disruptive changes that are on the horizon here, you know, sometimes our channel partner companies struggle or have to really work hard to find ways to change the way they operate and even the way they sell. So I'm wondering whether there is some programs that you guys are offering to help companies talk to their end user community.
Well, that's a great question, Doug. Yeah, in fact, it's one of our biggest investment areas as a company, because we firmly believe in, of course, having the best technology that we can, but without the right training and the right confidence and the right enablement materials, it's going to fall on deaf ears pretty quick, right? We have a huge channel, lots of big companies with lots of products to sell. How do we give them the confidence and the drive to go after this market? Because certainly they want to at the high strategic level, but how do we get the sales team fully equipped? So we've created some pretty robust sales enablement programs. So one example is we have a full CPaaS playbook that our partners have access to that gives them the most up-to-date training materials, use cases, case studies, on all of our applications that they can immediately rebrand for themselves and be able to use out in their sales meetings, you know, et cetera. And then on top of that, on top of having a full playbook of materials, we're one of the only companies that have a full CPaaS enablement sales certification course. So this is, you know, complete original content we've created internally ourselves. We're able to go on the road, and obviously in terms of COVID-19, we're able to do it completely virtually on the phone. We've given it to, you know, multiple companies and teams globally already with high marks. On a recent analyst roadshow that we went, we met with 10 of our analysts analyst companies that follow CPaaS, and we got extremely high marks for sales and marketing enablement programs, just to ensure, right, that these companies are fully equipped to be able to go out into the marketplace and build a strong case for CPaaS and really partner with their customers across the whole concept of digital transformation and improving their customer journey. There's a lot of education there that needs to be given. So we want to make sure these guys are fully equipped to be able to do that successfully.
Well, we always like to hear about education and training here at Telecom Reseller. And on that note, I want to thank you, Vima, for joining me. And Kevin, thank you for joining me today and giving us an interesting overview on number masking. And not only that, I think an interesting opportunity maybe overlooked by the channel partner and maybe how to get started as well. So where can we learn more?
Yeah, telestax.com, TELESTAX.com. We have all kinds of information on there about, you know, our active blog and our applications and how to get in touch with us and, you know, ideally become a partner if you're interested.
Well, again, Vina, thank you very much. Kevin, thank you very much for the walkthrough on this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.